Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
A grandma and grandpa once took their four-year-old grandson camping near Lake Superior. And while they were there, a huge thunderstorm came up. And there was thunder and lightning flashing all over the place. It looked like a Las Vegas light show. And grandma and grandpa thought their little grandson was going to be just terrified, going to be so afraid. But he wasn't. He just was taking it all in. He said, "Look at the whitening, grandma and grandpa." And he was excited because after a few moments, he says, "Man, Jesus has taken my picture a lot." He would have been afraid, but he wasn't afraid because he knew Jesus had his attention. He knew God was with him and he wasn't alone. And friends, this morning, what I want us to realize is that God's presence is always with us. We may not see the divine flashings, but God is not just taking your picture. He is with you. You have God's attention. I want to welcome everyone today to our first service of 2024. We are beginning a series called Pursue His Presence. Also want to welcome our online audience. Thank you for being with us. And our prayer is that for the next several weeks, we want to experience God's presence more and more. I love our time of worship that we have this morning, being in His presence. But do you realize God wants you and I to live in His presence, to walk in His presence outside of Sunday morning, besides the 90 minutes that we're here. God wants us to be people of His presence. And we're going to talk about that today. Every year I seek God for a theme for our church. Last year the theme was abundance. And abundance is primarily spiritual. But as a church, we encountered an abundance in our finances. It looks like, even though not all the final bills are paid and everything's in, it looks like we're going to have a surplus of $60,000 to $70,000 for 2023. Can you give the Lord a praise for that this morning? That's after we spent almost $88,000 for new sanctuary lights and electrical that needed to be done for that. That's after we remodeled our hospitality room and our youth center upstairs. That is in addition to the $6,000 grant we received for a huge obstacle course inflatable that we used for our fall festival outreach. God abundantly blessed us this year. And I know sometimes when I'm saying, "God, you know, what's the theme? What do you want us to focus on for the year?" I know when God gave me abundance, I was thinking, "Really, God? Abundance?" And I was like, what a faith builder when we experience this abundance. And so when God gave me Pursue His Presence for 2024, friends, I am really, really excited about that. Because I believe that we are going to experience God's presence more in 24 than ever before. All right, you like that? His presence more in 24 than ever before. That'll preach, won't it? In your notes this morning, fill this out. If you picked your notes up from the ushers, or excuse me, the greeters when you came in, or if you're using our app, we have our message notes on there. Our 2024 theme is Pursue His Presence. Pursue His Presence. We're going to look at Exodus 33 this morning because there is some great insights about the presence of God that we're going to pick up for that. And I just want to say that God's presence is for every moment of the day. Every moment of the day, every moment of our week. And this is our week of prayer. I know sometimes over the holidays, you're busy, you have relatives in, you stay up late. It's easy to get off your spiritual rhythms, your habits, your patterns of prayer, time in God. And if you have gotten out of sync with that, this week, the week of prayer, is a perfect time to get back, to recalibrate spiritually, to kick your year off in the presence of God. We've got prayer guides just at the table right on the door as you're going. Pick that up. And also, we need to enlist more prayer partners. Several of you were prayer partners last year. We had about 30 people. My goal is that this year we'll have 50 people. I firmly believe that part of the reason for the abundance we had, plus all the other things we saw God do, we saw 52 people give their lives to Christ through our services and ministries in 2023. I believe that all the things that happened were a result of prayer. And so if you haven't signed up to be a prayer partner, sign up at the sign-up sheet. Make sure you get your prayer guide and begin praying. All you have to do is pray once a week. How long do you have to pray? That's up to you. If you want to pay 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, an hour for the church, for our ministries, for what God is doing. But I encourage you to become a prayer partner, because prayer is the engine that drives a church forward. The more we pray, the more horsepower we have to see God do things in our lives and in us as a church. All right. Exodus 33, and the setting for this, you have to realize, Moses has been up on Mount Sinai for 40 days. He's been in the glory of God. And in Exodus chapter 32, Moses comes down from the mountain and he encounters the people worshiping a golden calf. Now, Moses had been up there, and he, from chapters 19, I encourage you to read Exodus 19 to 31, because that is 40 days abbreviated of all the things that God said to Moses. In chapter 20, you have the Ten Commandments. And then God gave him some things about what if people are harmed or killed deliberately or accidentally. God talks about personal property and stealing. He talks about the Sabbath, about some different festivals, some feasts that the people are supposed to celebrate him. He talks about the priesthood, and this priesthood was needed to minister in the tabernacle. And he talks a lot about setting up a tabernacle, a place of worship for God. In fact, in chapter 31, God not only tells him this is the pattern, but he says there's two guys, Beaziel and Aholiab. I mean, talk about a name. How many wish you had those names, huh? Yeah. Two guys, and God says, these are the guys I'm appointing to build the tabernacle. But then God says, Moses, there's a problem. You need to go down. Because Moses had been up there so long, the people thought he was dead. And Moses had been the guy who's been getting all the information. When God gives a download, it goes to Moses. And they thought Moses had died, and now because Moses is dead, we're in deep weeds. We need a God to guide us. So they come to Aaron, Moses' brother, and they say, make us a God. So he builds, and he says, bring me gold. And they bring gold, and he makes this golden calf. And the people worship him. Aaron says, this is the God that brought you out of slavery in Egypt. This is the God that brought the plagues. This is the God that destroyed the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. This is your God, a golden calf. And the people, they began to worship and bow down, make sacrifices. They got drunk. They engaged in immorality and orgies. It just went out of control. And God was ticked off. Moses went down. He confronts him. And I love what Aaron says. Well, I just threw this gold into the fire and out came the calf. I mean, really, Aaron? It was a miracle? No. He wouldn't take responsibility for what he had done. And I just want to pause and say one of the biggest things in our lives to see the presence of God show up in our lives is I have to take personal responsibility for how I live in holiness and also in my pursuit of God. It's my responsibility to engage the presence of God in my life. I can allow as much presence of God in my life as I want. It's our responsibility. So anyway, that is the setting. That leads us up here to Exodus chapter 33. And I'm going to begin in verse 1 this morning. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, go up to the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I'll send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hevites, the Jebusites, and all the other rites. It doesn't say that part, okay? But go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but look at this. I will not go with you. I will not go with you. Why? Because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you're a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I'll decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. We're not talking about Christmas trees and taking ornaments off here, okay? The ornaments were their jewelry, their earrings, their necklaces, the things that they wore. And God says, take them off. In the Bible, sometimes you read about sackcloth and ashes, and it was a sign of mourning, of fasting, of repentance for sin. Well, taking off your jewelry and the things that you put on to make yourself look good, that was also another act of showing mourning for your sin, that you were sorry for what you committed. And God says, do that, and then I'll see what I will do about that. Now, there's something important I want you to note. The people were distressed. Why were they distressed? Because God said, go to the promised land, and I'm giving it to you. I'm going to destroy all the people there, all the enemies that are worshiping false gods. You're getting the land. After 400 years of slavery, you're going to have a place of your own. You're going to be settled. You're going to be free. You're getting the inheritance, all the promises I've given you. Don't you think they would be excited about that? Isn't that good news? But no, they were distressed. Why? Because God said, I will not go with you. I'm giving you the promised land, but I will not go with you. In your notes this morning, the first thing I want us to realize about the presence of God, God's presence is more important than his promises and blessings. God's presence is more important than his promises and blessings. The people were more concerned about God than anything else. They were more concerned about that. They knew they were going to be getting houses and lands, fields, vineyards, livestock, cattle, sheep, all these different things, all the riches of when these people are pushed out on land, all that they leave behind. They're getting this incredible inheritance, all this wealth and prosperity. But they realized that wasn't what was the most important thing. The most important thing was the presence of God. Not his promise of a promised land, not all the blessings he could give them, but his presence was priority. And my question for us today is this, is that your heart's cry? Are you saying, God, you are more important than everything else? God, there is nothing I want more than you in my life. More than success, more than my career, my advancement, my promotions, more than my education, more than getting stuff, more than my dreams, more than my desires. God, if I don't have any more answers to prayer in my entire life, that's okay as long as I have you. Or would you be discouraged and say, well, if God's not going to give me anything anymore, what I already have, including my salvation, spending eternity with him, is enough? Is God's presence something you desire more than anything? Friends, for us to pursue the presence of God, to experience his presence, it has to be more important than everything. It has to be priority and paramount in our lives. So do you want God more than anything? Well, to answer that, I need to ask another question this morning, and that is, what is it you're pursuing? What is it you're pursuing? When I was in college, I noticed Rebecca. I saw she was beautiful, still is, that she had a heart and a passion for God. She had a call to be in ministry, that she was kind, she was nice, she was fun-loving, good-natured. Anna was like, I want to pursue her. And I did. And because I pursued her, I did not pursue any other girl. You see, what my passion is what I pursue. That's in your notes this morning. What you pursue is your passion. What you pursue is your passion. She still is my passion. And I only pursue her. I don't pursue any other woman because she is my passion. So I ask you this morning, what is your passion? When you examine your life, your time, your wallet, just your as you look at your decisions, what do they say is priority to you? Because what you pursue is your passion. And if we say, God is everything, but the last time I read my Bible was, you know, a week ago, a month ago, I don't know when it was, last time I prayed, the last time I did anything for the kingdom, the last time I tried to witness, the last time I asked God, help me to see someone find and follow Jesus, use me as a witness. The last time I've done that, if his priorities and his passions and wanting him in my life hasn't really been on my mind, then can I truly say he's my everything and he's my priority? What are you pursuing? What does it communicate is a priority and what is most important in your life? Let's move on to point two as we talk about pursuing the presence of God in 2024. Number two, the same presence of God Moses had, you can have. The same presence, the same relationship that Moses had, you and I can have. Exodus 33, verse 7, it says, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tent, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance. I want you to think a pillar of cloud. Clouds spread out in the sky. They don't go vertical. A pillar came down. It was a supernatural manifestation of the presence of God. And they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance in their tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, this tent is not the tabernacle because it hadn't been built yet. Moses just came back from Mount Sinai in chapter 31. In 32, the golden calf, he's here. Now, this happened right afterwards. The tabernacle hasn't been built. Moses took a separate tent, pitched it outside the camp, and he would go and he would spend time in God's presence. When there was decisions, when people needed wisdom about something, what they needed to do, Moses would go seek God in this tent, and it was called the Tent of Meeting. And friends, God spoke to Moses face to face as if he was a friend. God wants to be your friend. You and I can experience that. In your notes, we've got this little section called The Progression of Meeting God. And we first see here in Exodus 33, 7, that there was Moses' tent of meeting. Then in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 to 38, we see the tabernacle of meeting. That's where they set up the tabernacle with the brazen altar, the laver, the altar of showbread, the altar of incense, the lampstand, all the things. And we're going to be looking at those over the next few weeks because they give us some insights into experiencing the presence of God in our daily life. And as those were set up, that was the next area where God met with people. And then there was the temple. The tabernacle was portable, so as they moved around, they could take it with them. But once they were established in the Promised Land, after King David, you had King Solomon, the temple was built. But after the temple was built, there was another step in the progression of meeting with God. In your notes, believers are the temple of God. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you and I are now the temple. We're the tabernacle of God, and God wants to meet with us. We're told in Acts chapter 7, verse 48, that the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. He doesn't dwell in buildings with sticks or stones. God doesn't dwell there. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthian believers, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16, "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Friends, God wants to live in us and walk with us. That's how he wants to have his presence in our lives, that he walks with us in our homes. He walks with us when we go to work tomorrow. That our students in middle school, high school, college, elementary school, that God walks with them in the hallways, in the locker rooms, in the laboratories of their school. And when they're playing sports in the football field or on the track or in the basketball court, God is with them as they're running and jumping and doing whatever it is. God is with them. That when we go to our neighborhood or we go to the store, we go to the gas station, God is with us. Everywhere we walk, he walks. He's with us. Friends, God is Emmanuel. We just talked about Christmas. A lot of times you hear that story in the Christmas story, you read it. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. God is with us. He is always near us. The question is, are we near to him? His presence is always near us, but are we near to his presence? Because we can be Christians who have the presence of God inside, but we're not near that presence. We're not communing with that presence. We're kind of out of touch. Maybe we get up, we say our prayers in the morning, oh God, and then we read our Bible and we go off the day and we don't think any more about the presence of God. God wants to walk with us. In Genesis 5:24, God took Enoch. It says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch was so close with God in his walk that God says, you know what, Enoch? We have a great time together. I like you so much, I don't want to wait for you to die. I'm bringing you up to heaven right now. You talk about having a close relationship with God. But that was because Enoch walked with God. He pursued the presence of God everywhere he went. We see in Psalm 119, verse 3, it says, walk in God's ways instead of walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And in the New Testament, this concept of walking with God continues. In Romans 6, 4, Paul said, walk in the newness of life. In Galatians 5, 16, Paul said, walk in the Spirit. See, friends, Jesus just doesn't want the 90 minutes every Sunday you give him, and then the other 90 at your Connect group or youth group or Kids Connect. God wants to walk with us. I want you to catch this. Every second of the next minute. And every minute of the next hour. And every hour of this day. Every day of this week, every week of the month of January, and then every month through the entire year of 2024, and then every year in the next decade, and then every decade through the next century, if you get to live to be 100, like Winifred Loder just celebrated her 100th birthday this last week. And there was a cake reception last Sunday. Happy birthday, Winifred. God wants to be with us continually, every moment of the day. A few moments ago, we sang a song about he is the air, and you are the air and the living water. You're the breath and living water. Michael W. Smith wrote a song a few years back, and he says, this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in me. Most of us, If we don't have a lung issue, we're not on oxygen, we haven't even been thinking about breathing today. Unless we got up and worked out and then, yeah, you're trying to catch your breath. When I go swimming in the pool, yeah, I think about breathing. But otherwise, I don't think much about breathing. Breathing is natural. And God wants us to be in a place where we're pursuing His presence in such a way that it's natural. It's part of our walk. We're breathing all the time. Just in this communion, this awareness, this consciousness that God is with us. He wants to be involved in my life. He wants to lead me, guide me, encourage me, cleanse me, inspire me, challenge me. God wants to be actively involved with you. He wants to partner with you. But I, just as He's near to me, I need to draw near to Him. How do most of us, maybe not most of us, how do a lot of believers approach seeking the presence of God? We seek His presence when we get desperate for Him. When I was in college, I went on a retreat, and we went to Lake Powell. And Lake Powell is a lake that's like 1,500 feet deep. It's a widening in the Colorado River. And then all these side channels, you go up, the small channels are like 200-300 feet. Well, some friends and I, we decided to go cliff jumping. And we went to a 40-foot cliff, and it was the only area that was really safe. It was about 4 feet from the edge of the cliff back where it started to slope down. And it was the safest place to jump. So we had to kind of take off about 4 feet back and propel ourselves to get over, because if you're on the slant down, you could easily stumble and fall. So we get to the top of the cliff, we're surveying it, we're looking at it, we realize we have to run if we're going to cliff jump. We just can't stand on the edge and go, boo, you know, we need to propel ourselves out away from the cliff. And who's going to go first? I'm not going to go first, you go first. I'm not going to go first. It's kind of like the Mikey Life commercial, you know, for those who are my era, know that. And I said, all right, I'll go first, okay? So I step back. I start running as fast as I can, and I take a leap off, and I'm going. And as soon as I jump, I don't know how fast I'm going to hit the water, so I take a breath. Splash. And because I was running, and it's 40 feet, you go down, 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 and it's not like, you know, 12 feet of water or something where there's a bottom you can push back up. You just keep going and going because it's 200 feet deep. And it's dark. You cannot see the bottom. And as you're going down, the light, the sun gets dimmer and dimmer. And it's like, this is dark. And it's like, and it's like I'm kind of panicking because I go down what feels like 15 feet, 20 feet. I don't know how far I am. And I've been holding my breath ever since I jumped. And it's like, I am desperate for oxygen. I get to the top. And they're yelling, are you okay? Because, you know, they heard a splash. They hear nothing. It's like, is he? Because they really couldn't see because of where we are. Are you okay? It's like, yeah, I'm great. But I'm not going to tell them about anything. I want them to experience the panic and stuff. Nice guy I am. What a friend, what a friend. Yeah, we did it several times. But here's the thing. Many times when we really go after the presence of God is when we feel like we're running out of air and we're going to die and things are dark and it's getting darker and darker as we go down and down. And that's when we go after God, because God, I need you. And God says, I want your pursuit, your, oh, I want air, to be a walk. That is natural. It's not waiting for an emergency. It's not waiting for a crisis. It is every moment, oh, God, I want your presence. God, I want you with me. Is it possible? I mean, I don't think any of us can be totally perfect, because the Apostle Paul says, I'm not perfect. I haven't attained, but I pressed toward the mark. It was a symbol of a runner who was straining for the finish line to be like Jesus, to come as close to Jesus as he could. And that needs to be our effort, our energy, our exertion. I'm pressing to get as close to Jesus all the time as I can. This morning, we can have the same intimacy, the same closeness that Moses had, because you and I are the tabernacle of God. We are the tent of meeting. Paul even used that, this tent. I want to take off this tent and go to heaven. That's the analogy. We are the temple of God. He dwells in us, but he wants us to draw near to him. Let's take a look at the third point this morning, and this is the impact of his presence. What does God's presence do for us? Why should we pursue it? Why is it so important? Three things there in your notes. Letter A, God's presence cultivates a favored relationship. God's presence cultivates a favored relationship. Going back to Exodus chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. Then Moses said to God, if your presence doesn't go up with us, do not lead us up from here, for how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? You know, I have found in my own life that as I spend more time in God's presence in prayer, worship, reading the Bible, scripture memorization, meditation, waiting in silence and solitude, as I do that, I gain a greater intimacy, a greater closeness with God. And it doesn't mean that everything goes perfect, because there's still problems, but just I have more of his presence, more of his joy, more of his peace. I am more centered, more balanced. I'm focused more on what he wants than what I want. And when I don't spend time in prayer, you know, there's a saying, you miss one day of meeting with God, God knows it. You miss 2 days of meeting with God, you know it. You miss 3 days of meeting with God, everybody around you knows it. And I would say that's very true. I know that. When I don't meet with God like I need to, I'm not very pleasant to be around. Yes, that's my wife and my daughter, okay? Not now, after church, but yeah. I need to be in his presence, but when I'm in his presence, it gives me greater intimacy. It gives me greater closeness. And that's the importance of it. If you want a great relationship with God, you've got to pursue his presence, develop a prayer life, and we're going to be helping you these next few weeks. We're going to help you develop a prayer life for those who struggle in that area, but also how to walk in the Spirit, walk in the newness of life. We're going to be talking about both of those aspects as we talk about pursuing his presence. But God wants us to experience that, to do that. And as we do that, we get a closer relationship. So his presence is vitally important for a closer, more intimate relationship. Letter B, God's presence marks us for mission. God's presence marks us for mission. Back to verse 16 of Exodus 33. How then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all other people who are upon the face of the earth? God's intent when he first spoke to Abraham was to develop a nation that was going to be distinguished from all the rest of the earth. They were a people that were marked for mission. God's presence marks us for mission. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What God wanted to do, as Israel followed God, God would pour out his blessings on them. And all the nations of the world, they would look at Israel and they'd say, why are they so blessed? Why are things so wonderful for them? and realize they still had to fight wars. They still had to fight enemies. It's not like they had no problems, but there was something special, something different about them. And God said, I want the world, when they look at you, they say, what is it they have that we don't have? We're bigger. We're stronger. We have greater armies, greater resources, but yet we don't have the peace, the prosperity, the joy, the blessing that they have. The only thing is that they have El Shaddai. They have Yahweh, the God of Israel. And they were marked with the mission to be a light to show the rest of the world that it is God who is the only one you should worship. They were marked for a mission, and friends, God has marked you and I for a mission that when the world looks at us, even when everything's falling apart, we're not falling apart. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have a peace that surpasses our understanding. It doesn't make sense. We shouldn't be at rest, but we do because we know that God is in control, and we're trusting Him, we're obeying Him, no matter what happens in our life. God has marked us for mission. What is your purpose for being? Are you saying, I'm living life to give me a better life? Or am I living my life so I can be a better light for the mission? Am I living for my dreams and my goals? Am I living so that I can get a house, or maybe a new house, a bigger house, or a new car? Am I living for that promotion? Is my purpose to set my kids up with an education, or I'm planning for retirement? Are my goals material? Are my goals about me? Or am I saying, God, help me to be a better light about your mission, that the world sees me? God, help me to reach people. What is our mission? To help all people find and follow Jesus. That's our mission. You have a radius of influence at your job, in your schools, in your neighborhood, in your family, with your friends. Influence your radius. That's our mission. Help all people find Jesus and then follow Jesus to grow in His presence, that He dwells in them and they become people of His presence. What's your purpose? Are you pursuing a life that gets you closer to what you want? Or are you pursuing a life that says, God, what do you want? I want to get close to that. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And yet sometimes there's things in life, well, God, I don't want that. You might want that, but I don't want that. I'm praying for my will to be done, not His will to be done. We can do that at times. James says, you ask, but you don't have, because you're asking amiss. You're asking according to your own fleshly lusts. We need to be people that are living with a purpose. God, help me to be light and salt to this world. Help me to share your love, to help people see you in me, that I'm imitating Christ so that they're drawn to you. That's our purpose. The last thing that the presence of God does, it gives us a close relationship with God. As we spend time in God's presence and we're seeking Him, we get His purpose, we pursue, we want to do what He does, we deny ourselves. The third thing that takes place as we pursue the presence of God is that God guides us and He protects us. God guides us and He protects us. In Exodus 33, verse 9, it says, Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud, it would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. That pillar of cloud that represented God's presence is the same pillar of cloud that God led Israel out of Egypt with when He set them free from slavery. You read about it in Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22, and it says, God was by day a pillar of cloud, and at night He was a pillar of fire. And so the pillar would move and Israel would follow. God was guiding them, leading them exactly where they should go. Not only did it show them where to go, it protected them. Because as they left Egypt, Pharaoh and his armies pursued them. And what it tells us in Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, that the pillar protected them. It said, the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Listen to this. Thus, this pillar of cloud It was a cloud and darkness to the one, to the Egyptians, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all that night. Verse 24, it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of cloud and fire, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. I want you to imagine out here on the Wyoming wilderness, the Wyoming desert, 2 to 3 million people camping way out in the boondocks where there's no electricity, there's no light, and at nighttime, you just have the moon and a few little lanterns that are in their tents. Can you imagine if you were an enemy nation, how easy it would be to attack those 2 to 3 million people? But now I want you to imagine a pillar of fire taller than this building in the night sky, lighting up everything like streetlights in town, and it extends outside. I mean, now you are protected. You're not vulnerable anymore. That's what God did for Israel. He protected them. And friends, when you and I spend time in God's presence, he guides us and protects us. There's times God has shown me things, given me a check in his spirit about a decision I was going to make, and I was going to do something. I just felt, man, it looks perfect on the outside, but something's not right. I don't have a peace about it, so I don't walk into that. And later on, I have found out it was a bad situation to enter. God has guided me. When we were pastoring, when we left youth ministry, we were looking for a senior pastorate, and there was a place that looked perfect. I thought we were going there, and we didn't go. And I was really kind of upset with God. 6 months later, he opened up something else. That was the perfect place, and the place that looked perfect was a disaster. God protected me as a rookie greenhorn pastor from entering a situation that would have been really detrimental to me and my family. God protects us. God shows us false teaching, false doctrine. God protects us sometimes from physical danger. There's times we pray and God comes through. God protects us. God guides us. He leads us. He shows us what to do, how to manage our money. There's times he prompts me to text or call someone, a family member, someone in the congregation. He gives me a scripture. He wants me to pray for someone. He wants me to visit someone. God loves to be involved in my life. And he wants to be involved even in a greater way. And he wants to be involved in all of our lives, leading us and guiding us, using us to fulfill his mission, and most of all, giving us a close, intimate relationship with him as a friend. And not just any kind of friend, but a best friend. Are you pursuing the presence of God? You're his tabernacle, his temple. He lives in you. He's near right now. But the question is, am I pursuing nearness with him every moment of every hour of every day? God wants to move powerfully in us. He wants us to experience his presence more in 24 than ever before. And it comes down to our personal responsibility. Will we pursue his presence? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray this morning that you would help us to be people who pursue your presence. God, help us to be marked for mission. God, to experience an intimacy with you like we never have. Lord, lead us, guide us, protect us, direct us. Lord, we need you more than everything. Make us desperate for your presence, yet make it so natural that we're living in it all the time. This morning, there's a question in the bottom of your notes, and it's, what is the Lord saying to you about pursuing his presence. I first want to talk to those of us who are followers of Jesus. We're Christians. Are you consumed with other things? Maybe you're consumed with problems. Maybe you're consumed with your goals, your dreams. You're consumed with success. You're consumed with another person. You're consumed with a relationship, that one that you want, or maybe one that's bad. And God really isn't your first priority in your life. What is God saying to you as you evaluate your life about what is your purpose? What is the most important to you? Some of you, God's speaking to you about your prayer life today, and that it has waxed, it's waned, it's not where it used to be, or maybe it's never been. And God's challenging you in 2024 to develop a prayer life. And maybe you're kind of afraid. Maybe you've tried before and it hasn't worked. Friends, the Bible says a righteous man, he falls down and he gets up, and he does it 7 times. He keeps getting up over and over. God wants you to pursue him. And if you fall, you get back up and pursue it some more. Some of you this morning, maybe you are experiencing God in your everyday life. You're walking in the Spirit, but you'd say, man, I just want more of that power, more of that anointing. I want more than I've ever had before. It's not that it's bad, but I want it to be greater. I want it to be more powerful. I want more influence. I want to see God do more in me and my family and through me. If God is talking to you about some area of pursuing his presence, going after him more than ever before in 2024, I'd like you to slip your hand up this morning. Just put it up and say, I'm going more after his presence more. Whatever that means to you, just put it up high. I want more of you, God. I'm going to do whatever that means. I want to be obedient. Your Spirit's talking to me. If you're watching us online and God's talking to you and you want to pursue more of him, I'd like you to raise your hand in this moment right now. You can put your hands down. I now want to talk to those of you who are not followers of Jesus. Those of you who are not Christians, both here in the house and those who are online. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Friends, sin separates us from God's presence. That's why God said to Israel, hey, I'll give you the promised land, but I'm not going to go with you. Their sin separated him. But here's the good news. God loves us so much, he made a way for our sin to be removed, for our sin to be forgiven. And that is, he gave Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. And Jesus came to earth, he lived a perfect, sinless life. And because of that, when he died, his sinless life could take our sin so that we can be forgiven. And even though the wages of sin is death and the penalty is eternity in hell, when we come to Christ and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive me. God, I need you to be the Lord of my life. I don't want to follow my ways. I want to follow your ways. When we commit ourselves to the forgiveness and leadership of Christ, you and I can have a relationship. God removes our sins, the Bible says, as far as the east is to the west. You can't find them anymore. He gives you the righteousness of Christ. We start a relationship, and then he wants us to draw near to that presence that he gives us. And if you're here this morning and you'd say, Craig, I want that relationship. I know I'm a sinner. I need to commit my life to Christ. I need to turn from my sin and turn to God. If that's you in the house, I just want you to raise your hand. How many here would say, I need a relationship with God? I need to be forgiven. I know that I'm not a Christian and I want to follow Jesus. Anyone in the house, God's speaking to you this morning. Anyone here? For those watching online, how many, God's tugging on your heart? And he's saying to you, I want you this morning. I want you to come to me. Bring me your sin. Bring me your life. Put me in charge of your life. If God's talking to you today, I'd like you to raise your hand right now and say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I want you to lead my life. I want that relationship. Just put your hand up wherever you're watching us this morning. Anyone else in the house this morning? Anyone else who'd say, God's talking to me. He's knocking on the door of my heart. I need to open my life to him. Anyone else today? I'm going to say this prayer, And I'd like everyone here in the house and those online, everyone to repeat this after me, no one praying alone. Lord Jesus, I want your presence, but I have sinned, and I need your forgiveness. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. I follow your leadership. You're in charge. So lead me and guide me. I want to be your friend. Mark me for mission and help me to grow closer to you and fulfill your purpose. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and dying for me. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.